Now recording. Recording? Thanks. Cool. Yeah, good.
Things
See, it was weird. The only way I was able to like sync up the audio before was you said before that you had one of your headphones like off.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I was able to hear my voice through that one headphone.
You're kidding.
That's
freaky.
I know. And I was able to line it up so that my voice like overlapped with what was coming through the headphone. So
I'm doing that again.
Out.
Should I not do that? Or?
You know what? Either or. I can work around it either way, but to be safe, like, probably not.
Okay, so both on.
Yeah, yeah. Probably a good idea.
I'll do that.
So what was your week like? Is this your second full week off of school? I wasn't sure.
Yes. Wow, this is going fast. Yeah, it's been just glorious because I haven't had to work yet. And I haven't had any school. This is my lovely gap of fresh air between things I have to do. So it's been good.
Funny you should say that. Because I, last Friday, finished up my last class. We didn't have to come in, but it was like a nice, like, oh yeah, if you have some time, if you want to come in, like, I'll be lecturing on, like, small room acoustics and stuff. I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? Like, we were in class for, like, a total of an hour and a half, and it was fine. It was cool. But I got done then. Saturday and Sunday, for the most part, pretty relaxing. Monday, Tuesday, work at 7 a.m.
Oh, God.
So, right so you back had, into you had the a, fire.
You had a very brief breath of fresh air.
I had, like, a 36-hour break.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. Yeah.
Gotta be done.
Yeah, for sure. It's fine, though. Like, I'm getting... Like, working at Jamba is like a fucking bicycle. You never really forget everything. Whatever. And there's this weird dilemma that I have where I almost like this job more than I did my teaching job.
Oh, yeah?
Because, like, the satisfaction that I get doing manual labor and helping people get, like, the smoothie that they want is equal to me helping kids learn. Like, wow. What kind of person I am that...
There you go.
like, I question where, like, my pleasure centers are, I guess, or my, like, life satisfaction quota or some shit.
I guess that kind of makes sense. Because, like, with the manual labor thing or with, like, serving people drinks, it's more, the feedback is more immediate than someone learning a concept, I think.
It is, which makes me feel like I'm just an idiot.
No, I mean, I understand that. That's a human thing. You're a human, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, though, like, if my previous job was just, like, teaching kids how to do shit or, like, teaching, like, certain things from a certain class... Mm-hmm. I'd be totally fine. But the thing was, it was layered, like, sprinkled with all kinds of, like, small little bullshit that I would have to do. Like, I would have to meet with my boss once a week and, like, have, like, 20-minute talking sessions where she would tell me, like, how good of a job I was doing. And that sounds, like, fine. It's like, oh, like, why are you complaining about such a good job? It's like, yeah, but she's a talker, dude. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, if, like, when your grandma tries to have, like, a conversation about life with you, it's like, it goes on for a little bit too long. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yes, I know, and I don't really have anything to add here. Like, thank you, I guess. And then every once in a while, just a complete non-segue into her talking about her cats.
Oh, God.
Which, I mean, I love cats, but...
Sure. Who doesn't love a good cat now and again?
Yeah.
It's the internet. I had an English teacher like that.
Oh, really?
She had, like, 6 cats. She had pictures of them on her desk.
Ugh, woof.
Nice lady, but...
Too many cats.
The cats. So, yeah.
Hello and welcome to the First Person Podcast Simulator. My name is Zach, and joining me today is...
Mike.
And we're going to talk about Metacritic.
Indeed.
We're doing that first thing because we've been putting it off for like 2 or 3 weeks.
I know. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
And, yep.
Okay, so there was this good article. You know, if I can remember too, I'm going to put the article itself as a link in the show description and stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Because this is... I mean, we both read this to kind of prep on tonight. So...
It's actually been a while since I read it, so... I'm sure I'll remember once you start talking about stuff, but...
Yeah, I...
So where was that article? Where was that originally published?
I think Kotaku.
Right, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't remember who, because I don't follow Kotaku.
No, yeah.
They're, like, a little bit too sensationalist for me, maybe?
Okay. I think that's fair. I mean, it's Gawker, so...
Oh, yeah.
They're all kind of like that.
But, it's interesting. What I pretty much got from the article was Metacritic in itself is not bad, but, like, people should probably stop using it in terrible, terrible ways.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea that, like anyone in retail, like, any retail heads were like, okay, like, how many copies of this game are you gonna get?
I know,
determining how many copies of a game that they will, like, get in their stores, like, for supplies, like, okay, well, what do you think the projected Metacritic score is going to be? It's like, I did not know that, like, it extended out that far.
Right, yeah, so let's get into that. What's up with that?
Well,
so Metacritic, I guess we should explain first. If you know of
for
it.
For those who don't know Metacritic?
I mean, I don't think it's totally ubiquitous.
It's a big database.
Well,
so
I mean, the point of this article is that it is, so.
Yeah. It's a review aggregation site,
essentially.
Yeah, pretty much.
It takes all of the review scores from everyone else and says this is kind of like the aggregate score.
Yeah, and it's got like a certain weighting system. So like you're like Joe Schmo doesn't like affect a huge number like a lot if he takes a shit on a game or a movie or anything. They do a lot more than just like games and stuff. And to the point where I went to the site and I'm like, wow, like there's a lot of things here that like there are reviews on. And after like a certain point, it was just like, it's like, Jesus, you know, like I don't fucking care about reviews on like petty small things like this. Like, God, it's like that. It's got like a too much information syndrome thing going on, but that is kind of what its job is. So like just to have all of that information there. But yeah, I don't even know where to start with the retail thing. Like, it just goes on talking about how Metacritic affects so much more than one would ever think. Like, the whole the deal between publishers and developers where, obviously, developers want money from publishers, and if publishers think that the money is too high, like, they made the example if a developer is asking for, like, $1.2 million to make a game, and they're like, well, like, we really feel comfortable giving you $1 million. How about we give you the point two if your Metacritic score for this game is over this certain number?
Right.
It's like, holy shit, that's like the sleaziest bargaining ever. That's
I know, it's
awful.
Totally messed up. And, like, then the developer will, like, plan out their development process as though they're going to get that money, which is kind of what, like, you have to put in that amount of work to get that money back so that you get the score that will allow you to get that money.
Right.
But then if it doesn't end up getting that score, they don't get the money, and then they could, like, shut down on that one game.
Right, yeah. Well, hopefully they wouldn't be banking on, like, the small bonus for, like, keeping their studios alive. But you never know.
Right.
I'm sure that's happened.
Yeah.
And the one thing that just occurred to me that, like, stirs me the most is, like, I guess the article touches on this a little bit, too, but the fact that there's a chance that they might be watering down their game for, like, the general public to bump the potential, like, overall Metacritic score, and that's, like, affecting, like, the artistic integrity of that title, and that's...
Right, yeah. Just to appeal to the lowest common denominator, so...
Right, and it goes without saying that's pretty screwy.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, if you look at the games market and the system that's in place, it's pretty indicative that that's what's going on and that it's a problem, because all we're really seeing is, like, tons and tons of first-person shooters.
Well, yeah.
That's probably a big product of that.
How long has that been going on for? Because you know what?
I don't even know.
I feel like half of my life, first-person shooter. I remember when it was specifically World War II games. I remember when people were making jokes like, oh,
yeah,
we really didn't know they're like war game or another World War II game. Now it's kind of branched out into just like shooters in general.
Yeah, totally. I think it started with like, I mean, some of the first Call of Duties were World War II, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and like games like Medal of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
Went on from there.
But yeah, I can't remember. Like, I guess we were probably too young to really even notice a trend in, like, what most games were, but...
Yeah.
I feel like... Oh, maybe there was a while where, like, Mario 64 came out and everyone's like, we need to do a 3D platformer.
Mm-hmm.
I was that a thing? Maybe?
I think there probably was a lot of the... I think there were a lot of third-person action-adventure slash RPG.
Could be. I mean, obviously not to the scale that, like, first-person shooters have now, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
It's so strange. There has to be something... I wish someone would do a study into this, like, how... Well, this is totally branching off, but, like, maybe there's something carnal about First Mysteries that, like, most people enjoy and understand and get that, mm-hmm. it, like, is the reason for their success. Like, anyone can pick up a controller and play a first-person shooter. Well, I mean, not anybody, but maybe there's something, like, reptilian that it just, like, clicks, like, right there, and
mm-hmm.
that's why they do so well or something.
It's one of the simplest games to play. You can just, I mean, like you said, not everybody, but basically everybody can pick it up and just, you can, there's a very low barrier to getting in and killing things.
Yeah, no, if you know how to shoot, or, like, hit a button while handling two analog sticks, you're,
yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to an RPG where you're creating your character and building up stat numbers. And
yeah, and there are a couple different systems going on. You have mm-hmm. a story going on in the back while doing that.
Right. Yeah. Story is something that isn't overly present in today's first-person shooters.
If only. There are some good stories in first-person shooters, too, but, like, they're... Mm. Yeah. Oh, speaking of good storied first-person shooters, did you see that I picked up Bioshock 1 and 2 for $5 on Amazon?
I did.
So that's awesome.
A steal.
I know.
Good job, man.
Pretty psyched.
Yeah. I was going to jump on that, but then I didn't. I'm not as interested in the first two Bioshocks.
As you are in Infinite?
Yeah.
That's
which
right.
I actually have to get back to.
Oh, you haven't beaten it?
No, I haven't played it in a little while, actually.
Strange. I just thought that once people start, they're like in... Like, the claws come out and they just can't stop.
I know, and I was for a while, but then I had to surgically remove the claws so that I could finish my documentary.
Right, right.
And then and I just never put them back in.
Hmm.
I should do that.
Yeah, for sure. I gotta start a new game. I'm thinking Anodyne.
Okay.
I'm thinking Anodyne so I can do the Let's Plays and just see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. But, I want to get my hands on Fez. And get into
oh,
that.
Yes. Yeah, good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so Metacritic.
Yeah.
That's fine. That happens with half of our topics anyways.
I mean, this is the spine. We're branching out with different things.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I was going to say something.
Was it about Metacritic?
Yep.
All right, good. Right direction.
Oh, okay, so with the Metacritic thing, it's... it's pretty clear that there is... a problem, and that this system is a problem because what you have is a bunch of these developers that are creating, you know, really good games. A lot of developers have shut down, and a lot of development studios have shut down in the past couple of years. But you still have EA, which was just voted the worst company in the world, is still alive. Mm-hmm. And they're the publisher, they're the gatekeeper that's putting everything out here. So clearly it's tilted in the wrong direction, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And again, I just want to make it clear, like, I have nothing against Metacritic. Like, I actually like Metacritic. I think the fact
sure,
that
yeah.
Metacritic exists is a good thing, because, you know, databases are just, like, good in of themselves.
Yeah, they're objective. They're neutral.
For sure.
Metacritic isn't trying to, you know, fulfill
right.
any agenda.
Yeah, yeah. And some may argue, like, oh, well, like, they haven't, like, revealed how they do their weighting system. Like, yeah, but, like, they have to do a weighting system. Like, there's no way... Like, in terms of numbers, mm-hmm. there's you can't do anything else. Like,
right. Because not everybody uses the same system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a business thing not to reveal that. If they do, then what's the point of Metacritic?
No, right.
Anybody can do that, then.
Yeah. So, again, like, Metacritic in itself, fine, good. But what mm-hmm. people are doing from it, it's obviously not doing, not doing very good things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what other examples they had on there that were...
I know, it's really a huge honking article.
It is a honking article. There's a
so
lot.
Big.
And it doesn't help that I read it like a week ago, too.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's kind of a shame that Metacritic is something that developers have to have that's like this cloud hanging over their head the entire time during the development process. Like, you should just be able to create your game without having to worry about what the score is going to be.
Yeah, I know, and I mean, it's enough to have, like, expectancies from the publisher, too. Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like
totally,
that's a ball
yeah.
and chain enough.
Like, so the combined problem is probably what's, you know, leading into this whole rise of indie developers, because people don't want to put up with that anymore. They just want to make games.
Right. I think most people wholly support.
People making games.
Yes. Sorry, you just cut out. Oh. But I'm sure what you said made cohesive sense.
Yeah, so did you.
Oh, shit.
Yay, Skype.
Hooray.
It went so well the first time, it couldn't possibly go as well this time.
Well, I was like 4 feet away from my router the first time, and no one else was in the house.
Oh, okay. Did I mention I'm downloading 17 movies?
Yeah. Did I mention I'm downloading the
internet?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, update on that. Do you remember how Comcast was all like up in my grill about Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Well, they sent another one, and that wouldn't be a problem. Like, they are correct in that we downloaded more. However, the thing is, it's back at my parents' house. So Comcast is assuming... Sorry, let me back up. Okay, so a while ago, there was a notification was sent to my parents' email after I had moved out about, like, hey, you're pirating, you should stop pirating, like, and stuff about, like, their six-strike rule.
Yeah.
Yada, 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 and we might, like, limit your bandwidth or something like that. So I'm like, oh, shit, well, okay. They sent it then. They, like, sent it on the 9th or something, and the pirate happened, like, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, somewhere in that time period. So I'm like, oh, all right, well, we're not doing it now, so, and we're, like, moved out, so everything's cool. But they sent another one, probably about a pirate that happened just a little bit after that other one, but we're not living there anymore, and nothing has happened since they sent the last one.
Okay.
So what the fuck are they trying to do?
Is this just a huge backlog that they're getting through?
Yeah, I know. Like, what do you expect me to do? Like, is it... I guess the six strikes don't have to be, like, to make sense. They just have to be, oh, no, like, no, you pirated six times, so we're cutting you off. No, we have to talk with them. I'm sure it's just... Hopefully it's some hiccup, but I wouldn't be surprised if they gave us a hard time.
Speaking of problems with the six strike rule...
Yeah.
I do, just to interrupt Metacritic once again, I have a little piece of news about that.
Oh, yeah?
The anti-piracy outfit that was, what was it, the CCI, Center for Copyright Information, or I think it was the non-profit started by them, I don't know, it was, they're the company that launched the copyright alert system. That company just lost its company status.
Oh,
and
really?
Is no longer able to conduct business in the United States.
Oh, no.
Yeah, listen to how sad we are about that.
That's good. What was... How did that happen, do you know?
I don't know.
Is it shrouded in mystery?
It's old news. They hadn't filed the proper paperwork. Now they have, and they are back in action.
No! Mike... You lied.
I did
to millions of listeners.
Children, this is what happens when you don't read the entirety of the news before you report it.
Which is what so frequently happens, I feel.
I should go work for CNN.
Yep.
I'm so good at that.
Ho ho ho.
Boom, take it, CNN.
Topical jokes.
Haha. From a tiny podcast with 7 listeners.
Oh yeah. All 7.
And we love you very much, we do.
I don't even know how many downloads the last one got. Whatever.
That's not why we're doing this, Zach. We're
totally
doing it
not.
For the money.
Yeah. Which we're getting later.
Yes.
After we blow up.
We've been promised the money. Otherwise, what did I sell my soul for? So.
Sell your soul for internet fame? I know I would.
Good talk.
For sure. So, off the top of my head, I cannot remember any other Metacritic stuff, but one other thing I remember is did they talk about how, like, in interview? I don't know if this is interviews between publishers and developers or like new. Like when game developers go into interviews with, like, other companies and they ask about, like, their Metacritic scores and stuff.
Yeah, totally.
God,
that
seems
weighs
so
on whether or not they get a job there, yeah.
That seems so arbitrary, and there's... I like review scores. I understand that they have their place, but it seems like way too much emphasis on them.
Definitely. I think... there is a place for review scores, I think. I wouldn't, like, there was a part of the article that says that, it talks about how the bulk of the review is more important than just a score. Like, you can't boil what you take away from a game down to a number. Like, there's, like, I like this stuff, I didn't like this stuff, overall this was good and this was bad. It's more than just a number, and the way that people put those things together are different. But I wouldn't have the review score completely gotten rid of, because there is a place for that, for, like, you know, you're in a hurry, you just want to scroll down and see what the score is. But they talk about people being conditioned to skip the opinion, skip the article, skip the video, and just get to the score. And there's much too much emphasis placed on this number that barely means anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it really is a can't have one without the other sort of situation.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you could... The articles that are put up can be swayed one way or the other, depending on, like, how you read them, depending on what emphasis, like, that you take from them. But at the same time, like, if you didn't have the review score there, like, in order to completely convey what the person felt, this would have to be, like, pages and pages long, and no one has time for that. You can't do that. No one's going to read that.
Right. And we don't do that with movies. Movies have a review score as well, so...
Yeah.
It's just the way we critique art. It's the thing we as humans need as closure. Like, you can't just say, so that's it, and those are my opinions. Buy it or don't buy it. We need something at the bottom that says 8 out of 10.
Yeah, that is kind of a primal thing. We have an over-obsession with, I guess, categorizing things. And...
But it works for us.
Oh, yeah. No, I love it.
They also talked about, I don't know if it was the publisher or the developer, like, sending extra swag to the press to sway their Metacritic score.
Oh,
or,
my
like,
God, right.
Or, like, getting in contact with them to say, hey, if you bump us up by, like, 0.5... we would really appreciate it, or we'll do this for you, or we'll, like, buy you off.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Which is insane.
Yeah.
For a Metacritic score.
Mm-hmm. Like, guys from Destructoid have talked about how a lot of them don't feel, like, that comfortable whenever there are, like, these big PR events for, like, these games. Because, like, they're obviously trying to sway the score. Like,
totally.
They really are. And, of course, every once in a while, they do have to go on them. It's kind of a being polite sort of thing. But...
It's their relationship with that other organization.
Yeah, but we're talking, like, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars on these, like, overly extravagant, just, like, fly in, like, to some tropical island by chopper to... like, review this game. It gets ridiculous.
Yeah.
I guess that's what happens when you have, like, a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Totally. And it, to the point where you're like, why didn't you just use that money to develop the game fully?
Yeah.
Instead of trying to buy me off to like it, make it actually good.
Because of the Metacritic score. The numbers.
Gotta get the numbers.
It's sad that the industry is hinging on that.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, there's that glimmer of hope where Kickstarter and other indie developers come in.
Right.
So
they don't have to worry about that so much. And they always turn out to be, like, amazing and wonderful games. Like Super Meat Boy. They were super worried about that, and everybody gave him, like, 10s on the first day.
I know. I love that documentary.
Yeah.
Indie game the movie, folks. Go
watch it.
Yeah.
We said in stereo.
Totally not getting paid for that one.
No.
To those two people, directors who I can't remember names of.
Awful person.
Totally.
I don't remember it either. Was that Two Player Productions, or was that who did the Minecraft documentary?
No, Two Player Productions was the one who did the Minecraft documentary, and the ones who did the one about chiptune music. Have you seen that one?
Oh, Reformat the Planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was real good.
That's what got me into chiptune music. Like,
yeah.
That's what made me, like, okay, I'm downloading a tracker program tonight and, like, learning how to do this shit.
Yeah.
Super
Actually,
inspiring.
I remember I was in, like, junior or senior year, and I saw you post that on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went and watched it, and I was like, hey, chiptunes are awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of which... Are you going to be going to the Chicago Onomatopoeia show on the 25th?
No, I will be in New York.
No!
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. All right.
I really wanted to go, too, and then my parents are like, hey, it's this weekend we're going. Oh.
Yeah, I got you. Well,
which
we'll
I can't complain about, because I want to go to New York. But.
Well, yeah, it's New York.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see, though. I think they're trying to, like, swing around and maybe do a couple of other shows. I don't feel like they're going to, like, come back and hit Chicago, but
yeah.
Who knows? Like, they've got a lot of money to do a lot of things now, so
mm-hmm.
from their Kickstarter, who's... I actually don't know how much it's gotten up to, but I would absolutely love to check. I haven't checked in a while.
Hmm. But the future, then.
Yes, hopefully. I mean, it's not like they're going to stop. Oh, shit.
This was our last ever tour.
Yeah, right. They just passed 200,000.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Damn, nice job, guys.
And still 11 days to go.
Mm-hmm.
403% funded. Jesus. So they're still waiting to hit the game jam stretch goal.
Yes. Wow. Which hopefully they do, because I mean, I feel like they can make some kill. They did an update on that. Like, yeah, so we're thinking, it's like, this track should be a racing game, this one should probably be like a kind of dating sim sort of thing. I'm like, oh my god, this is going to be so good.
Amazing.
They're going to try and have developers make games based off of their songs.
Yeah.
Essentially. That can only be fun.
Yeah. Which is also kind of a cool backwards thing, because they make, like, video game music. No one's ever made a game for music. They've always made music for the game. So that's interesting to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I never thought of that, but it is pretty cool.
That'd be cool.
Mm-mm-mm. Speaking of cool, I totally went to an arcade the other day.
Yeah, tell us about this.
There is this cool place called Galloping Ghost that's located in Brookfield that everyone should go to. You do, like, one... I don't know what the down payment is. Mm. Me and Mika had a Groupon, but it's, like, some set amount of money, and then you spend as long as you want playing any of their arcade machines, and they have
nice.
A lot.
I may have heard about this place.
It's super cool. They've got so many games. We spent a lot of our time on the Tekken 3 machine, though.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a lot of fun. Because, like, some of them were, like, the D&D or Gauntlet games, or those were too involved. Like, I don't want to spend fucking, like, 40 minutes on an arcade machine.
But you could.
But you could if you wanted to. They had a lot of fighting games. They had a lot of old, like, retro games. They definitely had, like, Joust and Defender and stuff like that.
Nice.
They had the first House of the Dead, which we played through and beat. Because we totally had infinite credits.
Nice.
That was fantastic. They only had the first Time Crisis, which was one player. That bummed me out so much. So I want to go through Time Crisis with Mika as well, because those games are fun too. There was also this weird thing that I took a video of. It was an altered arcade cabinet. I think it was... What was it called? It was something craft, but it was a modded StarCraft game.
Like, oh, wow.
Like, you know those top-down, like, flight... Like, Jamestown kind of games? I don't know what you could call them. Like, top-down spaceship shoot-em-ups or something?
Yes.
There's a name for that. I don't know. But it was
there
like that.
There is a name for that.
It was like that, but you piloted, like, different aircrafts of the Terran, and you, like, were killing Zerg and stuff. It was so strange.
That's really cool.
And it was, like, the same sprites and stuff, too. It is really cool, but it took me off guard. I'm like, what the fuck is this? What's going on?
Awesome. The original StarCraft, then?
Yeah.
Nice.
And that was, like, also in the same corner where they had a machine that was hooked up to a PS3 that could play you, like, the second Dragon's Lair game, which is, I'm pretty sure, an adventure game, which was super bizarre. Bottom line, though, Galloping Ghost, super fun. Go do that. Except, try and go when it's not busy, because sometimes kids, like, just scream and mash on arcade machines, and you want to, like, just take them away from their families.
Yeah.
So try not to do that. So
also,
arcades,
try not to take them away from their families.
I mean, we could be realistic. We can only say so much and do so much here. It's just going to happen. So yeah, that was fun.
Zach Bruin's Dark Secret revealed.
It was just cool to see, like, a functioning arcade again. It was a very neat place.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
That'd be God, it was hot as shit in there too.
Yeah.
Because it was a hot day and because of all the goddamn arcade machines right next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It was neat. You could see, like, these spots where, like, the arcade cabinets were backed up to each other. Like, mm-hmm. So you have the aisles where you walk down and you're like, oh, like, I want to play this game or this game, blah, blah, blah. But you, like, if you look down into where they had their backs to each other, it was, like, this dark, like, cave of wires and power strips and stuff.
That's awesome.
No. Yeah, it was a good time. Really cool. Anyways, that was a thing that I did.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, dude, the thing with Nintendo and Let's Plays, did you hear that shit?
I very much heard that, yes.
What is...
It's really not cool.
Essentially, like, to break down the story, it kind of makes sense, and then you start thinking about it, and you're like, wait, Nintendo, what are you doing? Essentially, what's going on is, like people do Let's Plays. People on YouTube do Let's Plays, and that's mm-hmm. awesome. That's cool.
What
Nintendo saw was, it's like, hey, these people are using our games to make money off of advertisements and, like, gain popularity through viewers. We should destroy their dreams and take that away from them, because there are games and they're profiting off of our, like, licensed titles.
Right. So what Nintendo sees it as is pretty much, it's like you're selling their game and getting money for it. Which I think I just described used games, but that's a different thing. They for some reason, they feel entitled to the revenue that the creators on YouTube are getting.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that doesn't work is because the creators and everyone who watches them views them as... Like, you don't just watch someone and then they shut up and it's just a straight-up playthrough of a game.
Right.
Most of the time, you're watching it because of the personalities that are playing the game. It's an added layer of entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't want to watch fucking, like, Goof Troop. That game is fucking garbage. But when Game Grumps does it, it's great. It's hilarious.
Right. Exactly. It's because they're giving a commentary of it, and they're saying stuff over it. It's like a podcast, and you just happen to be watching this game.
That's the best way I've ever heard of a Let's Play, actually.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Internet.
But yeah,
so it's totally messed up.
It is super, like, messed up.
They're saying, we're being nice by not removing this completely from the internet.
Yeah, we're just taking your money.
Exactly, yeah. You're trying to create a career and a brand for yourself as a creator of media, and nope, we get that money.
It's not a good move. It doesn't make them look good, and it angers very, like, certain communities, and... All of those videos are, that's good, that's PR. That is good
exactly.
PR. That is more
it's free
eyes.
Advertising.
Right.
A lot of the time, I don't really care about a game, and then I hop on the Augscast, and I watch them play it, and I'm like, wow, this game is amazing, I want to buy this.
Absolutely.
Free advertising.
Yeah.
And this is just another step. Nintendo has been, like, walling themselves off for years. With, like, the whole multiplayer thing with the Wii has been crap, and they've refused to get into online very big. And then there was the whole indie developer thing. They just don't want people to buy their stuff.
I know, it's... Yeah.
What other explanation is there? They want a box that just plays Mario and Zelda games and nothing else, and you can never share this with any other human.
Interesting. They're probably fine. And the thing that blows my mind too is, like, Nintendo's fucking rich. Like, how much money are they really mm-hmm. gonna be making off of those, like, advertisements? Like, how
yeah,
much
you don't
can
need that.
Like, how much does a person really make? Like, if their video hits, like, maybe 100,000 or 200,000 views, like, what do mm-hmm. you get in a paycheck from just advertisements from YouTube?
From you get nothing. It is pennies from YouTube.
Yeah. So.
Just from advertisements, if you're not making any sort of content deals or sponsored videos, you're not making anything from YouTube. You may have cut out again.
No, sorry, I didn't. Oh. I was sorry, I was thinking, which is stupid. Don't do that,
thinking.
Guys, kids.
What?
So yeah, it's not that much then.
It's no,
at
this
all.
Is just bad.
Nintendo is Scrooge McDucking.
Mm-hmm. But it's just another chapter in the story of
Nintendo
how...
being a disconnected developer, or... Yeah,
yes,
or,
that. But also, in the greater spectrum of things, how big media entities cope with the internet.
Which Nintendo just doesn't.
Right, exactly.
They would prefer it didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
They're just going to start hard-coding their games so that when the video footage of it leaves your console, it's scrambled into some horrible mess of nothingness.
It's going to be Reggie and Iwata, like, juggling bananas.
I was just going to say something like that, yeah. It's going to be Iwata in the Luigi hat and Reggie just being Reggie.
Which, I mean, arguably isn't the worst thing that could happen.
I guess I'd watch that. You know what? Please do that, Nintendo, because I will watch that. If it's just, like, 150 of those all over YouTube on different channels.
Yeah, that would be good. Yes. God.
Okay, so let me pitch you a show. It's called Reggie and the Prez. And, no, wait, let me finish. It's all about... Oh, I want that to be a thing now.
Reggie comes in like Kramer from Seinfeld. Yeah. I am a big purple Pikmin. The audience goes wild.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Iwata and Miyamoto can be Jerry and George.
I want to... You know what? No, I really want to see, like... the Japanese try to recreate Seinfeld.
Yes.
Because they don't have sarcasm. Sarcasm, like, is not a, like, really well-known or, like,
it doesn't seem to be.
Cultural thing in Japan. It isn't. So...
Oh, it's so great.
That would be fantastic.
It really would be. Oh, man.
I can't... That.
I want that to be a thing.
That's too good. We need to move on, or else I won't be able to talk. I'm just thinking of... How great that idea is.
Okay, what else do we have?
I was going to talk about EA nixing online passes, but we'll get to that later, how that doesn't really matter anymore.
Okay.
According to Wired.
But
the last thing, and then we can, like, vaguely talk about the... I never thought of that. The Next Box? That's funny. That's good.
Yeah, I thought a lot of people were using that. Next Box.
I'm out of the loop.
Psh.
Did you see Valve's crazy metagame thing?
No, I didn't. I have not seen this.
I haven't actually looked into it and gotten and played anything or experienced it, but essentially what they've turned like some of the Steam community into is you get like these outside achievements for like the amount of games that you play or doing certain things in games, and you get these badges and you get these trading cards. So essentially what they've done is they created a metagame of the Steam community to get you to play more video games.
So that you can get the cards.
Like, get trading cards, and some of them actually have monetary value. I don't know if there's going to be a card game coming up, or if they're just, like, collectible. But
this is incredible. This is, like, this is a snake eating its own tail kind of thing.
I know, and, like, if the... But, like, the tail is made out... Like, the whole snake is made out of, like, really good candy, and everyone is benefiting from this candy snake eating its tail somehow.
Because everyone else is also eating the snake.
Because everyone's just standing around watching the snake eat its tail. It's like, well, is it still going? Like, that's all. All right, yeah.
It's like, okay, it's the snake from Snake eating its own tail. So it's constantly growing from eating its own tail, but also eating its own tail. So it's just a constant size.
What a statement about Valve and its money.
Wow, that's amazing.
So deep.
So they created a game to get you to play more games so that you will stop playing games to play this game.
It's not... I don't think it's actually a... game. Again, I haven't read too deep into it. I don't know if
really
trading card
be.
No, I think that's what they're going for though. Yes. Like creating this sort of like hobby, like they're bringing like foil cards back. There's going to be holographic versions of the trading cards.
Oh man.
I know. So
sweet.
I know. I'm kind of excited for it, but I haven't gotten time to immerse myself in the beta that it's going through right now.
I don't really see a downside to this.
No,
so,
not at all.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Well, the one downside is that they were working on this instead of Half-Life 3.
Psh, I don't give a shit about this shit. Half-Life 3 ain't got no trading card game in it.
How do you know?
Whoa.
Maybe that's what's taking all this time.
Developing this intricate card game system. So yeah, we've thrown the first-person narrative thing, not really doing it for us.
Yeah.
It's kind of going to be like the Half-Life universe meets Yu-Gi-Oh!
Oh, God.
Something, I lay my head crab down in defense mode.
Oh, man. headcrab in defense mode.
Okay, so this is where I'm going to stop talking, and we're going to let you continue on with all of the
great band
the
name,
new headcrab in defense mode.
Yes. Or would that be the album of the band that is yet untitled?
It would be the biography.
Okay.
Biography of the album of the artist.
Right.
Okay.
Neither of which exist.
This is when you talk about the Xbox reveal.
Next box. All right. Got a lot of stuff. It was a pretty concise event. It only took about an hour.
That's cool.
Fit quite a bit of stuff into it, a lot of which I was pretty bored by and didn't really care about. But, so a lot of the stuff that we actually care about is, like, what it's called and what it looks like. So they revealed that it is called the Xbox One.
Which is garbage.
Yeah, and really makes me feel bad for HTC with their new phone, the HTC One.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, well. But, I mean, I saw a great comic from, I don't remember who it was from, but it was like Microsoft execs in a boardroom saying, what's our next Xbox going to be called? What's bigger than 360? Let's call it Xbox Infinity. And then 5 to 10 years later, okay, what's bigger than Infinity? Damn it! What would the next one be called?
Infinite so, Plus.
That one is solved. But it's also kind of confusing because you think that people are talking about the first Xbox when they say Xbox One.
Yeah, because there was an original Xbox.
Right.
So
that's what you think. I don't know. Companies aren't great at counting anymore.
They're really not good at naming systems anymore. I want to go back to where there was cool shit. Like, the Game Boy, yeah, all right. I guess that's it. But, like, the Sega Genesis. Like
Dreamcast.
Dreamcasts. Like, really, yes. Like, fun, innovative game, or, mm-hmm. like, names. Like, even the GameCube was something.
Yeah. It was a cube, and it played
not
games.
Not this Wii U bullshit.
Yeah, that was really disappointing, actually. Wii.
I know. And, like, their explanation for it was so fucking, like, half-baked, too.
I know.
It's like, before, we were playing games, and now we want to bring the experience to you, Wii U. The name of the console's Wii U.
And you just want to shout, Reggie, who is making you say these awful things?
I know.
We know you're better than this. They come up with the game. The next game is New Super Mario Bros. U, and you're like, oh god, they're really going all in on this thing.
Yeah.
Oh. Sad. Zombie U. But this isn't about Wii U.
No.
So Xbox One. The thing is huge. Like, maybe it's just a prototype, but they, just to one-up Sony with their PS4 event, they actually wanted to have hardware there.
That makes sense.
Kudos for that. But it was this huge VCR-looking thing. It's just a giant black rectangle, which, you know, that's all that they are anymore. and so it's got... the controller hasn't changed too much. It's...
Yeah, it looked pretty similar. I just hope that they solved
it. It's a little bit different.
That D-pad problem, because, man, the D-pad on Xbox controllers are just pieces of garbage.
They did specifically call out the D-pad.
That's good.
That they were changing that to make it more immersive, whatever that means. However, you can make a D-pad immersive.
That's it. But, like, I'm having such an experience with this D-pad.
Just looking at it. So every system is going to ship with the new version of Kinect.
Oh, yeah.
And it's only going to work with the Kinect. It has to be on, because there's voice commands, and it will recognize you. It'll watch you while you sleep. It'll ask you about your personal life. Whatever happened to that girl you used to see.
I don't want...
There's actually specifically a new voice command called Xbox Stay Out of My Personal Affairs.
Xbox Get Out of My Face?
Yes. No comment on whether or not you can still order a pizza.
I fucking hope so. That's the only redeeming benefit of the Kinect.
Totally. They did show off this whole, the new interface with their whole media side of things. There wasn't a whole lot about games. I would say 2/3 of it was just about how this is a media box. And then the rest was, also, you can play games if you so desire.
Yeah, I feel like that's what they were going for in, like, the latter half of the Xbox 360's life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. They definitely want to be there. They are on the front lines of... the war for your living room.
Yeah, and I feel like that is what they are choosing to be, like, their niche thing to do. Like, there's Sony that looks like it's obviously going to be, like, for gamers, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I definitely got was the dissonance between the two events, was that Sony was all about games and developers, and this was more about kind of what we just want boxes to be now.
Right, yeah. Which, I mean, and I'm not really a fan of the idea of an entertainment box. I think sorry, I'm getting a phone call. Hold on.
Oh, that's cool.
Two seconds, it's my mother.
Shh.
Bye bye. Fucking Xbox.
This is the part of the show where Zach converses with his mother.
Somewhat.
Shout out to Mama Bruin.
Mama B. Anyways, okay.
So Xbox.
Yeah, going back to that, though, and I don't like the idea of it just being an entertainment box, because that seems bland and watered down, and I want a game system for games, and it seems like some...
They don't care.
Yeah, they've been getting further and further away from that, so I'm less and less interested. And I'm sure, like, it does the entertainment and media thing very well. I'm sure it's going
to
be great for some people. Yeah,
they're integrating live TV, there's switching and stuff, but
not
thought it was a game console.
Yeah, guess not. How right. silly. A game press thing.
It's crazy. Let's talk specs. Spec-wise, it's really actually not too different from the PS4. There's going to be an 8-core CPU, which is apparently... What?
How many teraflops does it have?
All of them.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yep, it collected all of them. 8-core CPU, 8 gigs of RAM, 500 gigabyte hard drive. It'll have a Blu-ray drive, because they finally gave up and decided Blu-ray is the future. It'll have Wi-Fi, HDMI in and out, and USB 3.0.
Okay.
Those are all the things. Remarkably similar to the PS4, further proving the point that game consoles aren't exactly needed anymore because they're basically just souped-up PCs.
Yeah, I'm wondering where we're going to be in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I really am.
They never used to like announce specs like this, kind of. And we were also... We didn't used to be at a point where you could go out and build yourself a gaming machine. These were like... Nobody could go out and build a SNES. That was a custom thing that you could only get from the gaming people. It's a different world now. So they kind of have to buy into that and show you that they built the best thing that's basically a gaming PC.
No, right, and it kind of plays into that idea that I think we talked about this a few podcasts ago about how like the technology for like consoles isn't going to like... They're pushing their limits too hard, and I feel like in the next generation, that's really all that they're going to be. They're going to be PCs for your living room. Right? That's what they're trying to be, and they're not going to be achieving quite as great heights as just like regular PCs are, because they're trying to branch out and do too many fucking things.
Yeah.
And still also, stay under a price point, too. That's important as well. They can't make these big like hardware boxes and be charging anything less than like $500 and make a profit.
Totally, yeah. People don't, like, you can go out and spend, like, $800 to $1,000 and make a really good PC.
Yeah.
I would know. But people don't want to do that. That's, like, a niche thing where you're like, oh my god, I have to build a PC for things that I want to do. Not just, I'm going to watch a movie, let's spend $800 and build something. Or spend $800 and buy a box. Mm-hmm. So, price is huge. And I guess it's pretty cool that they're going to be able to keep these pretty good specs under that price point, which I would assume they are. What else we got? So no backwards compatibility with the Xbox 360.
Such a slap in the face.
Which is what everybody was hoping for. They were hoping, because they were saying, hey, what about this giant multiple shelves of Xbox 360 games I have at home? Is that now worthless? And this is Microsoft saying yes. So
yes, actually, please give us more money.
Good luck with that. But they're actually going to keep selling the Xbox 360 alongside the Xbox One.
That's an interesting announcement.
It is. Because they've always said, throw out your old thing and buy this new thing. But the next generation, apparently, not so much. That's unprecedented, because the PS4 is... Like, they're not going to... Does the PS4 have backwards compatibility? I actually don't remember.
You know what? I think it does have a certain kind of backwards compatibility that they're planning for, because I feel like...
Like an emulated cloud thing?
Yes, yeah.
At least?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I don't know how I feel about
that. It's an interesting strategy, and I feel like...
It's really weird.
That kind of makes sense, though, because, I mean, if you...
Mm-hmm.
so you've got this new, like, brand new console where, like, rich nerds and probably a lot of households will acquire it and, like, start buying games for it and start building a library of that. But you've still got all of these other people with, like, these other, like, consoles who, I mean, some of which are probably working, like, just fine.
Yeah, totally.
With probably still a yearning to get more games for that console, so, and not, like, you know, drop a couple $100 on their new thing. So that might not actually be the worst idea. I mean, that seems pretty lucrative and pretty, like, widespread in terms of the markets that they're able to cover.
Sure, and also on top of that, like, even graphics-wise, next-gen isn't really that next-gen. I mean, the upgrades that we've seen and are probably going to see from now on in games are pretty incremental.
Yeah.
Like, there's no more huge leaps like we had with the N64 or anything like that. Like, a lot of the games that are being announced for next-gen consoles are also coming out on the Xbox 360 and the PS3. So, it's really just an incremental step up. And just not a whole lot of point to retire the 360, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I frankly don't mind that we're starting to hit that limit of how much we can make a how much prettier or more not pretty how much more realistic we can make a game look, I suppose. I'm fine with that.
They showed off I think this was the one game they actually showed off in-game footage for was the new Call of Duty.
Spoilers.
Which I could really care less about, but it was so stupid, but they were showing off, like, look at how amazing this game looks, and I'm like, what am I looking at? It looks pretty much the same. It's not that great. I mean, I guess some of the stuff they showed looked cool, but maybe I would have to see it for myself. I don't know, but it didn't look that spectacular.
Yeah, that was kind of a similar... I feel like that's what we thought, too, with the new Killzone footage that was at the Sony press conference, too. Like, that's an interesting mirroring.
Some of it is impressive, but for the most part, I think we've pretty much seen some of the best of graphics happen already.
That's what I hope for.
And
that would be nice.
Yeah, I think the era of consoles pushing the boundaries of graphics has officially ended. And, like,
that would be so nice.
PC is where the bulk of that is happening. Like, you run Crysis 3 on Ultra on a PC. That's the max of where we're at right now.
I just like that Ultra is a setting for that.
I know. Isn't it for
like,
Skyrim?
Holy shit. Is it? Oh, it might be.
I think it is. That's just
I've never run it on a PC. Oh my god, it was on sale for like $13 the other day.
Oh no,
that was Borderlands 2. I was excited because the like baseline price for Skyrim had dropped to $30.
Really?
Yeah, which is nuts, because like, it'd stay at 60 for the longest time. So, yeah.
It's closer, I probably closer still wouldn't buy it at this point.
Buying though. That game.
Yeah. Maybe eventually. Who knows? Same with Infinite. Should really buy that thing.
But haven't you bought it already?
Nope. And yet I'm playing it. What?
So
moving on. What's that, FBI? Back to the Xbox. So the system is still going to use discs, but the game discs are only to install the game, and everything will run from the hard drive.
I think that's pretty smart for the
most really
part.
Only need the discs once, and this is where we get into the whole used game thing.
Yeah.
Because like, if you're just borrowing a game, if you are putting it in your machine secondhand, or you bought it used, or you bought it secondhand, you're going to have to pay a fee to use it. And the way that I guess that kind of makes sense is you could buy a game, install it, and then sell the disc right away, because you don't need it anymore.
Let me talk about this real quick.
Kind of brings the price of the game down when it's being sold through used game retailers. So by imposing a fee, that brings it back up to you paying what the game actually costs.
Okay, so not too long ago, EA had said, hey, okay, we're doing away with online passes, a system in which used specific used games when bought later would require you to like register them and like install them and stuff would require you to pay like $10 for some fucking passcode that would allow you to like make it run and play it.
Yeah.
So now what they're telling me is that, okay, we've gone away with those, but here, we've got this new one where if you want to lend your friend a game, they're going to have to pay money. If you want to install this on multiple systems, they're going to have to pay a fee. What were they fucking doing before? Like, how different is this?
That's so many things. So that is totally messed up. I hadn't even thought of it from the angle of just borrowing a game from your friend.
Yeah, it's like,
maybe because they don't have any friends. But, because buying it used, that whole system sort of makes sense. But thinking of it that way, just lending a game to a friend, now he's got to pay for it. That's the whole point of borrowing it, is you don't want to buy it yet.
It's like, hey, you want to bring over that game and your Xbox One as well.
Also, can I have your entire system?
Yeah.
But then also this whole thing of EA putting out this news that they're doing away with online passes to look like a good guy is also total bullshit because it's just a system that's being imposed in the system itself.
Yeah, it's the same with a new name.
It's just them trying to look good because we're not doing it anymore. It's just what everyone's doing.
Right. And
oh my god, it's
I wasn't entirely sure if that system was like speculative because I think that like, I mean, this is still, like, early
stuff. I'm sure all of this is totally speculative, yeah. Like, just like, I'm sure the hardware is a prototype, and this isn't the final thing we're going to see.
Right, right. And so, I mean, it would be nice if they did away with that, but they don't have any reason to, because...
Totally.
There's enough people doing shit like that. But there's enough people playing their systems where they don't have to care about something like that.
Exactly. They're so huge that, yeah. The woes of the few don't really have to matter to them.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is also like the Sony event, where everything is this amorphous cloud of, we'll see.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Of course, we have more to say at E3 in 19 days.
Oh my god, is it that soon?
By the way, yeah.
Fuck.
That's crazy. But interestingly enough, the big three aren't like having their big old conferences, are they, at E3?
Oh, like all three of them aren't?
Or was that just Nintendo?
I think it's just Nintendo.
Okay, I'm freaking myself
out.
Yeah,
Nintendo's doing like smaller kind of events, right. I guess.
Okay, that's not as bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, they were talking about that. So Microsoft and Sony will definitely be at E3.
Yes.
Don't listen to me because I'm a stupid face.
That's just, you have no body. You're actually like your whole thing, you're just a one big face.
I'm just a face.
Person-sized.
I don't know how
face.
I set up this call. Frankly. Like
very
the face
dext.
Of Bo. Do you watch Doctor Who? Face
oh,
of
yeah. Well, I had watched Doctor Who. I dropped off of Doctor Who. I stopped caring about Matt Smith.
Me too.
I mean, no. Matt Smith in himself, he's fine, but like I don't like the storyline that's going on.
The writing is terrible. Stephen Moffat has puked all over my love and dreams.
Yeah, essentially. I do know the face of Bo, though. That's what you are. That's what you are.
I am the face of Bo. Jeez. I have a final message. So, in other alienating news... No, I'm sure lots of people watch Doctor Who. What else? We talked about used games. It's bundled with Kinect, voice and gesture stuff. Also, like the PS4, gameplay recording and sharing. That's a thing.
I can only support that, I suppose.
The opposite of what Nintendo is telling everyone.
Oh shit, right.
Yet again, all the other two consoles are saying, hey, there's a button that at one tap allows you to share a video of this game with your friends. Nintendo's like, yeah, but we have to get the money for that.
Yeah, right.
Really interesting. Jeez.
I never thought of it. I didn't even make the connection. That's so funny. Jesus. What an interesting, like, ass backwards yet super successful company.
I know. It's insane. Nintendo used to be the innovative one.
I know.
And they're just running from all this new media now. It's kind of sad.
It's super strange.
What else? So Xbox Live, they also announced sort of an update to, they're like doubling the amount of servers that are available or something to like 300,000, which is, they made the point of saying that's more active servers than even existed in 1999.
Just an arbitrary spec.
Just or arbitrary pissing on 1999, whatever. I liked that year. No, but it is, I mean, kind of a crazy number to think about.
Newsflash, EA hates 1999. Or Microsoft.
Yes. Microsoft hates everything you loved about your childhood.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's funny because kind of...
Yeah.
When you think of... What does one think of in recent history when one thinks of proper amount of servers?
So, like, if a game were launching unprepared with not a proper number of... I can't think of...
Now, why in the world would any respectable game company do that?
No one would ever do that. Anyone, any publisher that would allow a game to do that would surely be branded the worst company in the world.
Perhaps.
We'll have to wait and see if that ever happens. Moving on. So back to Xbox Live. The whole thing of making this bigger is they tied that into sort of talking about, bigger network can support more stuff, but also allowing this new thing that we've kind of been hearing a little bit about with Bungie's new project, and that's persistent worlds, where you're, like, living in this game in a persistent world that exists even when you're not playing in it. Which is a really interesting idea to me.
So it's Animal Crossing.
Meets the Matrix. Like, it's Animal Crossing, but when you shut off your console, the world still happens on the internet.
Okay.
Like, it's a world that kind of exists, which is insane. And that's what Bungie was talking a little bit about with their new... shooter RPG thing.
That seems...
I don't remember what it's called.
We're not buying it, so... That idea seems very ambitious.
Yes.
And is hopefully cool.
I really hope it just works.
I really hope it falls flat on its face because of the limitations of the new Kinect. No. That would be funnier.
Of the limitations of Kinect.
That would be funny. That would be funnier to me. That would be great.
From what they showed off of Kinect, it seemed pretty responsive and good.
One would hope.
Again, it is a stage demo, so who knows if that was even real.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Most of the game footage they showed was pre-rendered anyway, so...
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought that was interesting. New Xbox Live stuff.
I should look into that, though. I want to see... Is it called Persistent World?
What?
The thingy that Bungie's working on?
No, I don't remember. Just Google Bungie and you'll find it.
And I'll see that they're doing a Halo TV show directed by Steven Spielberg.
Executive produced by Steven Spielberg.
Oh, shit, sorry.
Important distinction.
Mr. Berg.
Yes, Mr. Berg. It's a Seinfeld joke. So they're having a Halo live-action TV show. And interesting anecdote about this. On Twitter, Conan made a joke... that was actually retweeted by Xbox.
Really?
He said, apparently they're making a live-action Halo TV show tentatively titled By Halo 5. And they retweeted it. Like, either they're just sending out a bot to retweet things, or they're really self-aware.
I would hope for the second, but I wouldn't be surprised by the first. That's pretty funny.
It's hilarious. So yeah, they are looking to get in, like Netflix and like Hulu, get into the original content game.
Oh.
Which I guess I'm all for. Huh. More content people. Kill off the old titans, I'm fine with that.
But Mike, I don't want to watch a live action Halo.
Oh no, me neither. Absolutely not. But I'm sure a lot of people will.
Yeah. Because it's all about... I don't know where I was going with that. What's next?
What is next? There was the original concept. They showed off a handful of games, mostly EA. They showed off some EA Sports I didn't care about.
Yeah, they usually have the most boring segments in any of the Microsoft talks.
They showed off...
Because it's sports. It's like, oh, here's four things that we changed about the new sports game from last year. I'm like, yeah, all right.
Who cares? Whatever. There's a new athlete whose name I don't recognize. Hooray.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I can understand, like, there's your niche, like, market that can get into that. And I can totally understand. Like, I played sports games. I've had a lot of fun at sports games sometimes, but...
I was on a big football 2000, whatever it was on the Dreamcast.
Football 2000.
I had a big kick on that.
I used to be really into the Tiger Woods games.
Oh, yeah?
Which is retarded. But it was like this weird, almost RPG-ish kind of system, because you would play like tournaments and you get money and use that money to like upgrade your equipment, which would upgrade your stats, and you go and play professionals and you unlock things from there, and like it really was pretty much just an RPG. How many people are really going to be like super interested in it? Designating a big chunk of your talk to talk about, oh yeah, we've changed three things about the sports game. It looks prettier. It's also more realistic. Okay,
I know.
Bye.
I think we would both be surprised by the number of people buying sports games, and I think that's probably why they tailor a lot of it towards those games.
That makes
sense.
We're
just not so much into them. So they showed off like FIFA, NFL, basketball, and something else. They showed off the next Forza Motorsport, which looked beautiful. I gotta say, I think out of everything that is being shown off, racing games are some of the most impressive games graphically.
Yeah, which is so strange. Like, I don't know. I guess. Well, I mean, a big thing about cars is a lot like their visual appeal. So.
But it's like I look at that and I'm like, wait, I'm not actually looking at a car.
I know, and
it's pretty amazing what they've been able to do.
Yeah. Right. I think it's because, like, cars only have so many moving parts, too, to where they can be, super, super detailed on, like, its exterior and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a lot easier to have one of those run in an engine than it is, like, a human.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've always noticed that. Like, people who make car games are always, super, super detailed on
they're beautiful.
How it looks. And they really are. I cannot deny that.
Yeah. Good stuff. There's actually these two guys, a father and son, at the place where I'm going to work with my dad over the summer, who are big into racing. They, I think they have a car, or they sponsor a car and do some racing and stuff. And so I think the son has this gaming rig, and he has it set up with like three or four monitors surrounding him, and there's like
Jesus Christ,
steering wheel, and they may or may not have one of those things that gives you like feedback, like it's one of those chairs that moves.
Oh, you're kidding!
Like tilts
like
with the car. It's insane.
He's the fucking equivalent of like a guy who runs six separate WoW accounts. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean it's insane the amount of immersion that driving games can give you now.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
God, a reactive chair. That's all right.
I know. I don't know if I don't think. They've gone that far, but they've definitely gone with the surrounding monitors.
Okay, all right. That's within the realm of acceptable for me.
Yes. So they showed off Forza. They showed off the new COD. They spent, of the chunk that was dedicated to games, which was not much, they spent the bulk of it on COD.
So COD and sports and racing, everything that, real gamers want, obviously.
Yeah. And that was what they ended on. There was, like, no goodbye. There was no ending to the thing. It was just the COD thing ended, and then it was just this big splash screen that said, "We'll see you at E3," and it was a giant countdown to E3. Nobody came on and said goodbye, which was fine. You know, it was a concise event. But they spent the bulk on COD going over the graphical details, showing off some guy's arm hair and fingernail dirt, which, you know, you can emulate that. That's cool. But overall, I didn't think the game looked that different or spectacular. But they did show off another game that I'm not necessarily interested in or didn't necessarily pique my fancy, but it seemed weird and crazy. And it is extremely weird. It's called Quantum Break, which to me sounds a lot like Quantic Dream.
Or Quantum Conundrum.
Yeah. It made me think of, like, the, what's it called? The Ellen Page game, Beyond.
Beyond Two Souls?
It's this weird mashup of game and live-action TV show.
What?
I'm going to let that sink in for a minute.
No.
Yeah, it looked really stupid. I don't see how that could work. I don't see how that isn't going to ruin your immersion. It's like a cutscene, but a cutscene that looks completely different from everything else you've been playing, because it's real. So, they didn't go into a lot of detail, because it's probably really very early days, and very much still in development, but it sounded like... My takeaway from it was, everyone's playing the game, and then depending on the choices that you make in the game, those are reflected in the TV show. I'm not sure if it's an actual TV show, or if it's just part of the game, but it may be an actual TV show that you're affecting by playing this game, and it doesn't make any sense, and it's weird.
You know what? I've heard of other companies doing things like this, mm-hmm. but they've always been like MMOs.
Yeah.
That are based around, like, mechs or something. Like, ridiculous shit.
Right. I don't see...
I don't see that going over well in, like, the triple... I hope... Who knows? That'll be the thing that catches on. Like, that'll be the new genre of game.
It's this weird step that Microsoft is taking into media creation. In that they want to get into TV.
More like a media fucking Frankenstein.
It is. It's exactly that. It's a media Frankenstein. And I don't know. It weirds me out. I don't like it. I think it's going to be garbage.
That doesn't sound initially appealing to me either.
So that was pretty much it. That was pretty much the Xbox One event. They talked about some of the underlying operating systems that run to make everything smooth. But that's not interesting to a gaming podcast. So... That's the Xbox One.
Overall feeling...
News out.
Underwhelmed.
Yeah, pretty much. It was a very underwhelming thing. I found myself bored during most of the event, during the live stream. And when it was over, I was like, oh. So it was definitely not on par with an E3 event. It was kind of, I don't want to say disappointing, because we did see a lot of... reveals and a lot of big stuff, but it was definitely underwhelming.
Yeah, they're just, I mean, there's not showing anything that we really care about, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, questions were answered, but were they? Because is the console even finished? So I think they confused things more by having physical hardware there just to one-up the PS4. Because, like, the PS4, by not having hardware there, you were sure that some of the things they were saying could change. But now with the Xbox, it seems like all of this is locked in. This is the box you're going to be buying.
Yeah. There was I saw something briefly, I think on Destructoid, that talked about how there was this thing back when Sony did their press conference about how Sony didn't have, like, any women on stage at all.
Yes. Also,
I guess.
Two women on the Microsoft stage.
Yeah, quick thing. Do you think they would have even considered that if there wasn't, like, a ruckus raised over the Sony thing? Because...
I wonder. I would hope that they would, because they were, like, some head honcho people
in charge
of stuff.
Like, cool and competent, right?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah, no, they definitely weren't just...
talking heads?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Good.
No, they were real people.
Thank goodness, as opposed to those fake people.
Oh, I hate those fake people.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they probably wouldn't have. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't see them doing that out of the blue, just because. I don't.
It was done in such a way that it very much could have been just, hey, here are the people. Oh, are they women? Yeah, they happen to be women. But if Sony hadn't just completely cut women out, I don't think we'd be talking about this.
Probably not. It's another one of those EA does a good thing, but then does another bad thing that reverses the good thing. It's like, yeah, I can't even think of a good
Well, this was Microsoft.
Let's
be clear.
They're the same thing.
You keep, like, putting EA on top of Microsoft.
No, they're the same thing in my mind. They're always going to be the same person and thing. EA, Microsoft.
So whenever it's like...
EA, Microsoft.
EA, Microsoft. Microsoft.
May, Yeah.
Microsoft.
Yeah, but Microsoft is gonna be like, yeah, so, like, women on stage, cool, progressive. It's like, also, the new Kinect scans BMI and lets you know when you're totally overweight, most yeah. particularly in women.
Right.
By the way.
It's like, yeah, we have a couple women on stage, but also the Kinect, when sensing women in the room, will tell them to get back in the kitchen.
Yep.
Oh, we'll have a day one patch for that. That was a...
It'll immediately turn on, quote-unquote, girl games for them.
Yeah, my god.
Crystal Ponytails for the Sega Genesis.
No, I can totally see that happening, because there actually is personalization stuff, and it will detect your face and who you are, and probably whether or not you are male or female, and will tailor things that you might like. So I could totally see that happening.
That is not good, especially in the... I don't know. Feminism is like walking on glass for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just, like, pro-feminists, like, people... Like, yeah, I don't know. There was some discussion the other day about how, like, feminism is this thing where, like, it's one of those issues where you can never satisfy everyone in what you're doing.
Well, I mean, the one side that you're being careful to satisfy has also been privileged for thousands of years.
Well, no, I mean, for sure, but it's... I'm not the person to be talking about this. I don't know a whole lot about it. I don't know enough about feminism to talk about it.
And see, now you're worried about talking about it.
That's the thing, too! Yeah! Like, that's another... It's... I don't know. It's... It is something that people should be conscious of, but it seems like this overwhelming smog at the same time, which I think is fair to say... Because, I mean, of course, like, people want equality for women. This is not what this podcast should be turning into. People want equality for women, but, like, it's turned into a thing where no one wants to talk about it because there's got to be someone out there who disagrees with them and can't... I don't know. I don't... Progress is being made, but it's overwhelming.
I think we could say that it's... With this, like with many topics, it's too much about angry yelling at the other person wanting to be right instead of moving things forward.
I think that's safe to say.
Lovely.
All right, good podcast. It's like we had our hour-long special on our TV series where we end with something heartwarming and good.
Right, yeah.
Or slightly disconcerting and kind of janky.
Right. Which one was this?
Email us at fbbsim@gmail.com. Let us know whether or not we're completely wrong about feminism.
Oh, boy.
let the... this is how we get popular. This is how we get internet fame, for the complete wrong reason. This is...
Oh,
we,
I don't want to be popular that way.
It's like... I
gotta jump ship, Zach.
Yeah, it's the monkey's paw of wanting internet fame. Where
damn you, monkey paw. For,
yeah.
No, I never should have wished on that thing.
Where can we find your stuff at, Mike?
You can find me mostly on YouTube. YouTube.com/vlogandegan, although there will soon be a documentary going up on my production video stuff channel at YouTube.com/EganWorks, and you can also follow me on Twitter @EganWorks for updates on all of those should the YouTube sub box be broken.
Cool.
Blog stuff. Now, where can people find you?
Mostly not Tumblr. You can't follow my Tumblr. It's all right.
You can do that.
Most of my Twitter, though, @ZachBruin. I don't have a place where I do other things. Follow the FBB Sim YouTube channel, though, because I think I'm really itching to do some Let's Plays. I really want to do those soon.
Yes, okay.
Going to start out with Anodyne. Excited. Don't really know too much of what the game's about. Been told it's good. Yeah, so subscribe to that so you can watch. You could be the first person to watch those. Look at that. Look at you.
Amazing.
And then we have a blog in there, some links to that, and goodbye.
You want me to do blog stuff? I'll do blog stuff.
You're the new head honcho of that.
Got it.
I host, you keep tabs on all the links.
Because these are the things that I decide to keep in my brain.
Yes.
Instead of other things. So the blog itself, the main entity, the Kraken head, if you will, which is not a thing. Which is not
No, our blog is a Kraken.
See, it's like a Kraken. The main blob in the center is the blog itself, and all the tentacles are the social media.
Yep.
Yeah, I made that work. Everyone agree and smile now. So the blog itself is firstpersonblogsim.wordpress.com. We have no funds to buy an actual domain.
Right.
Because we're poor, poor college students. But we can afford social media because that's free. So you can follow it on Twitter at FPBSim, on Tumblr at FPBSim.tumblr.com, and on Facebook at Facebook.com/FPBSim.
Send us your internet dollars. Send us your bitcoins so we can get an actual yes. site.
Give us your bitcoins.
All right.
That's it.
Get out of here.
Looking forward to E3.
I'm looking forward to... Well, I guess it's on the internet, so... Yeah. Anyways, all right. See ya.
Goodbye.